In today's podcast, we talk to Katie Walsh. We discuss rural teaching, research, and working as an ensemble in a post-COVID context. Katie Walsh is a secondary school teacher in northern New South Wales, where she has taught drama and English for over 20 years. She trained in acting at the Flinders University of South Australia and co-founded the Red Shed Company in Adelaide, working as a professional actress for over 10 years in Adelaide and Melbourne before turning her interest to education and pursuing her career as a drama teacher. Katie is currently completing her PhD in drama education through the University of Newcastle. Her research interests are focused on exploring the nexus between secondary school curriculum drama and professional theatre in the area of collaborative group devising. Katie has recently co-authored a chapter in the Routledge Companion for Theatre for Young People with Dr. Christine Hatton, entitled To the Syllabus and Beyond, Young People Learning Through Theatre Making in Australian Schools in 2022. Other publications include two articles for Jeddah that introduce her venture into the academic research. Katie, welcome.
And what country are you joining us from today? I know that you're in Victoria today.
That's right. Oh, goodness me. Well, actually, where I've been researching and working is on Annawan land. And it's even more interesting because I'm in Yarralla, which is the where we're meeting the Gamilaroi and Dungati and Gambanja people as well. Gamilaroi and Dungati are from Yarralla as well, but it's Annawan land, so home to all those people. And that's where a lot of my research and work and so on has been done. And I'm sort of cruising through Victoria at the moment, so I can't pinpoint exactly where I am, but I've been making a lot of connections with people through this place. So
oh
yeah,
gosh.
It's very, very lovely to be here.
What a journey you are on. Just quickly, I know that you are a teacher in a rural setting, so I'm just interested to know about some of your experiences of teaching drama in a rural setting.
Oh, right. Gosh, you know, I grew up in the city and found myself in a country town, essentially. Well, it's a country city, so it has a cathedral, so it's a city. And we had two big public schools, public high schools. I worked in one. My best friend worked in the other. And now we're one big happy family, one big amalgamated super school, I think they've been termed at times.
Wow.
I think one of the things I've found is, so my background was acting, professionally for a while, and then have loved venturing into the education space many, many years ago. So I've been, I think, at my school for nearly 25 years now.
That's
and
huge.
And I could move in and sort of help, I suppose, can we say, nurture the talents of some of the incredible kids that walk in the doors, inspire other kids. But the one thing about a rural setting is that there isn't much theatre. You know, you don't have, not to say everyone in the city can access theatre all the time, but we are really that connection. We're the ones saying, hey, there is a local amateur musical production going on. We've got to go, you know, as a class. Or there is a show coming through that they're less common now, but there's a production coming through and we need to take some groups and you need to come and see what live theatre is. So all those kind, that access to seeing live theatre is really through the teacher and that responsibility we have to really try and foster that interest and to build that interest is important. That's on
it's
one
huge.
Level.
Yeah.
And on the and that's exciting. That's the exciting part. On the other level, it's where theatre is actually a means of expression. So you're teaching them that it's not just about the farm and the rural world or the, you know, even the country town world, that the world can be bigger. But you can have things go on in your community and your life and you can express that through theatre. So I think that's two of the things that that really stand out to me in terms of being in that more rural country setting.
Absolutely. And do you ever take them into like Sydney to go see performances or is that just too challenging?
Saddle up the horses. We do. Once a year. This is all a bit pre-COVID, you know, but once a year we do an amazing excursion, mostly during that on stage period. So it gives high school, the senior students, the chance to access the on stage experience, which is important for them. And then some years we found that there's not so much live theatre available and there's a production we really want them to see. So obviously it costs a lot of money. They're forking out about, you know, anywhere between $300-$400
for that's insane. Production.
Yeah. So I mean that's where we're at. There's a bus ride, there's you know, accommodation. For them, for the kids, it's many of them, it's their first time going to the city. It always amazes me. They scream as we go over the Harbour Bridge. And they get lost literally in mires and places like that. And they just think it's hilarious. And I'm going, oh, it'd be really good if you didn't, because
because I'm kind of having to look after you right now. Or I'm gonna have to make a phone call.
But for some of them, and we, you know, we say always stay at the YHA. So this is what you can do. You can get on a train, you can come down, you can stay here. There's this is how you go to a restaurant up the street. This is how you don't. I mean, they've got mobile phones now, so no one gets lost.
Yes.
But yeah, so great fun, great experience. We do workshops. We've accessed ATYP, NIDA, various different other groups, largely those ones. We do an art drama excursion. So we're doing art things as well as drama.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And the community that you work in, are they very supportive of theatre and the arts?
Well, they are, yeah. Actually, Armidale, which is where I'm from, is very, you know, it's an education centre, it calls itself.
Yes.
We have no lack of schools and education, you know, values the arts. The school I was in actually was a centre for excellence in creative arts and languages, ironically. Yeah. You know, back in the day, they had that sort of thing, whatever that meant.
Yes. And
very supportive. But having said that, we've had to really dig deep into the school pockets to outfit our drama space, which is essentially it's two classrooms with the gap in the middle, painted black, and now we've just got some movable curtains in there and we've strung up some lights. So, you know, it's basic. I always said, to be honest, that I could work in a trench, and I've always held that, you know, like theatre doesn't need a, you know, designated outfitted space.
Absolutely. And we've got
beautiful old arts, old heritage block that is now the Creative Arts Centre in my new school. And that has amazing little pockets that we've really done so well with in terms of creating theatre in them. So there's opportunities that comes out of not having a really designated flash thing. But we've just got this little double classroom outfitted, and I must say it is bringing things to life for the kids. So a bit of value in it as well.
Oh, yeah. And they're very lucky to have you. Like, you are doing amazing things. So congratulations on all the things that you're doing and bringing drama alive in your classroom for the kids. And that kind of brings me into some of the things that you spoke about at the Drama National Conference Antidote. You shared some of your research to the drama delegates from around the world. I'm wondering if you could share some insights from your presentation and your research.
Yeah, so just a very quick backstory. Been teaching for a long time. My colleague Penelope McHugh and myself were we've been for a long time really intrigued at what the kids can do in the classroom in terms of group devised theatre, and just fascinated by the way that they can just the intelligence behind some of their work and their devising and their theatre skills. So we've really loved that for a long time. And I was drawing links, I think, with Penelope, talking to her one day and just saying, this, you know, there's the work that goes on in the industry, because that's where both of our backgrounds is or lies. And then there's the work that goes on in the classroom. And it's kind of interesting that these two worlds don't sort of talk to each other. And I know I'm taking a leap of faith saying that, because, you know, might disagree, but you know, there is a disconnect. And even then, we go to workshops in the city and we access all these fabulous things, but it's still something designated for the education sphere. And then so I decided that I wanted to research and do something in that area, and I actually wanted to trip all over the world and just do workshops. And then I hit on this idea of doing it as a PhD. So my research is in what goes on in collaborative group devising in the classroom. What is that thing, and how do students, young people, do this? And then what goes on in the industry, if so, going into devising theatre companies or companies that call themselves an ensemble theatre or a group devised theatre. You know, there are different structures there. Yeah. So we're I'm looking at that kind of nexus between the two. So I'm not trying to solve why the pig's trotter has an extra twinkie or something.
I totally understand. Yeah.
Exploratory, it's qualitative, and so investigative, and I'm doing sort of ethnographic, going into classrooms, going into theatre companies, doing a lot of research around that. So reading about the development of group devising, which has been really intriguing over time, and then more through this journey through the University of Newcastle and my fabulous supervisors. So Christine Hatton is just absolute gold in this department. And she has led me down a lot of tracks of research, which has been fascinating. But one area that is not anything to do with the theatre world is a sort of an area of philosophy called we thinking. And I latched upon this. I was reading some material and I went, oh, my goodness me, this is sort of like the way that people collaborate. And so I've really started to look at this sort of philosophical connection with group intentions. Yes. And then marrying that with all of the theatre stuff that has really encapsulated most of my research. Anyway, I've taken it into the classroom. I've worked through it with the Year 11 group, and mm-hmm. we actually did, and they really catch on to it. It's like teaching a kid to speak by, you know, moving their mouth in different ways. They go, oh, yeah, we can, you know, make that decision, and this is what we need to do next. And so it's really been a profound watching this actually have a resonance in the classroom. And, you know, they've produced some work as a result of this thing. So that's what I delivered at the conference. That was the nuts and bolts of this.
It's fascinating. And post-COVID, I mean, teaching students about group work and ensemble work that we just inherently thought that they were just able to do, and then bringing them back into our classroom after COVID and guiding them through, I think the work that you're doing is fascinating because it's really reflecting how we can build that culture back in our classrooms of ensemble and collaboration.
You absolutely hit on something. You know, the one thing that disappeared from young people's lives was connection, you know. And even though we had the internet, and we didn't all have the internet, you know, but when people had the internet, it was odd doing all the communication through Zoom and school and everything. And as some of the Year 11 students I worked with said, it was like they were being reduced to an algorithm. Everything in their life was based on, you know, this kind of social media. What do you put in? You say things like, you know, shoes, and next minute all the ads come up about shoes, and your social connections are a bit like that. And interesting enough, I've thought that we're back to normal, you know, looking at the playground, kids mingling, hanging all over each other, not socially distancing anymore and so on. I thought, well, they've sort of, you know, they've built that connection back up. But when we did this little project where they're working through that notion of group actions and group intentions and we thinking and so on, and connected with theatre, they actually said this is the first time they've done something in that collaborative process for a long time, and that they built those connections and they loved listening to each other and being taking risks and being open. And I thought, wow, there you go. So
yeah,
very interesting to hear that.
I think it's I had students that really disengaged throughout that period, and they were some of my strongest performers. And we had been building them up for years with these amazing past groups, and they'd watched that culture build in the school that I was at. And then suddenly it was like that was taken away from them, and they that momentum of, you know, this is where we're going, this is what's happening, was stripped away from them. Mm. And now it's kind of rebuilding that. And it's great to hear where you guys are coming at it from as well.
Yeah. I'd say that was the motivation, is to get students involved in group devising and get that back up. I think it's actually the most profound thing that we do. It's not assessed anywhere else in the school. Collaboration, you know, that is an assessable thing. And yet it's part of our general capabilities. So I'm quite passionate about it.
Well, absolutely. And the future skills that entails as well, and how we can work with other people. I mean, it teaches them so much. So just a little bit, is that how you got into research, by just kind of through conversation and then delving a little bit deeper? Is that how you got into the research world, or?
Yes. Well, I think, as I said, I really started thinking, I think when you've been teaching for a long time, you sort of start thinking, okay, and I'd done productions every single year, and I'd done sort of, you know, like The Visit under Milkwood and I'd done The Twelfth Night, like we'd done some Shakespeare and so on. So I felt like I'd done a lot of productions and that was fun. And then I joined with the music teacher and done a lot of musicals. And I thought, what else can I do now? And I thought, you know, I'd really like to quite tour, you know, travel around and do workshops. Mm. So I started looking into that kind of idea. And then I think someone suggested to me, you know, you could sort of do some research, do a PhD, and I'd thought about that kind of work prior, doing a research project, but I sort of didn't really know what in, just something to really spark me again. So that was the plan, and then I just realized, oh my goodness me, I'm actually a teacher and I'm working in education. Maybe I could do a PhD in education. That would be an option. So then found Gorgeous Christine and was able to really, really sort of talk through some ideas. And we actually probably talked for about 6 months to a year before I completed the proposal and put it in. So there was a lot of thinking and working through and talking and reading and, you know, putting in a kind of like a words, you know, when you create all those word groups, you pull the words, where they come up with, and you go, oh. Yes. So my project is really just researching group devising in those two spheres and sitting in there, and then going through that process of trying to actually get into schools. Who knew that was going to be hard, because hey, COVID, no schools. And guess what, theatre companies. It was a game changer, you know. It changed the rules a bit for me. I was going to go and explore overseas. And then I just thought, okay, well, it's going to be Australia and New Zealand. And then that sort of whittled down to, well, maybe New South Wales, if I'm really lucky.
We'll just keep like narrowing it. Well, lucky it was New South Wales, because some of the best stuff's happening here in drama, New South Wales. So
where it's at. So that was the journey. Just really getting inspired. I can't recommend it enough. I think you have to want to do that kind of work to do it. It can't be a burden, if you know what I mean. And it's been challenging at times to balance school teaching. And also head teacher, and then we went through the amalgamation. So there were a lot of extra things happening.
That is huge.
And so I've taken a bit of a break from school just this year. So I'm still teaching there, I'm still working there, but I'm on a sort of a different arrangement, just to give myself some space to think and write code, collect data.
Absolutely. All those fun things that we're doing at the moment.
yes, indeed. Yeah.
Well, thank you for giving us a little bit of an insight into your world and the world of research. I know that there's a lot of people out there that are considering kind of going into research, or have these fantastic ideas that they want to start developing. Is the best thing for them to do to get in touch with the universities, or what would you suggest in that kind of first few stages of, this is my idea, this is what I'm thinking, and this is the world I want to go into in terms of research?
So where I got to Newcastle was really some advice from another uni I got in touch with, and they said, shop around. And that's mm-hmm. really easy. I ended up Google searching all these universities and looking up theatre studies and education and just sort of seeing what was there. And then you can have a look at what people, I think having the supervisor that really is on in your area is really quite important. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and then you have two supervisors or three for some people, and I think then they all provide something. So the two I've got are just, you know, magic in yeah. different ways. But we you know, being able to bounce ideas off and know, and they've taught me so much. So there's that. There's a learning process. Mm-hmm. But it is, you're reading all these amazing things and journal articles, and published a book chapter with Christine late last year. So, you know, these amazing experiences of being able to work with people who publish and write professionally, and how you learn from that. I think I'm a better teacher for it.
Yeah.
I'm certainly lifted my game in the classroom. So I was working with some kids the other day, and I felt like I was talking too much, and I just said, that's it. We're doing revision for year 12 black comedy. And I just, okay, that's it. I'm not talking anymore. Now, what is that for real? And I said, no, I mean, I am stopping talking. You people are going to zip. And this little girl, Zoe, just said, oh, Miss, but we love hearing you talk because you're so passionate.
Oh, my kids call it Miss Colebrook's one woman show. So they say, oh, you're doing a show again. I'm like, no, I'm talking. I might leave it there, but I just wanted to say thank you so much. And thank you so much for what you're doing for our drama community. And I would love to check in with you later on and see how it's all going with your research. But thank you for sharing and coming on and talking to us and inspiring people and inspiring me in terms of research. It's absolutely fascinating. So thank you so much for joining us today.
My absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me. It was so wonderful to meet you.
Thank you. You too. And take care. Safe travels.
This is a Drama New South Wales podcast hosted by Claire Colebrook. For more Drama New South Wales podcasts, go to our Drama New South Wales podcast channel.